Colossians 3:15 is one of several Bible verses that specifically command us to be thankful. That is a command from God. I trust you're already regularly in the habit of giving God thanks for His many blessings. As Pastor Caleb illustrated last Sunday, gratefulness has a way of causing us to realign our priorities and to refocus our attitudes. The old song says it well, "Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done." Psalm 111 verse 1 says, "Praise the Lord, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright in the congregation." I'm taking a different approach to today's message than my norm. Rather than aiming at teaching you about some particular Bible passage or some Bible theme, I'm simply going to, as to use the words of Psalm 111, I'm simply going to give praise and give thanks in the congregation. And you are my congregation. I have loosely organized my partial blessings list into 10 categories. This exercise has proved to be very beneficial for me personally, and my prayer is that sharing my blessings list with you this morning will serve as somewhat of a catalyst in your own lives, encouraging you to take the time to create your own extended blessings list. Now, even though my list is long, it's far shorter than it should be in light of the innumerable, indeed I would say incalculable, blessings of God. I may not even read all the references that I've provided for you in your guide today, but you might want to read those all later in your own time. So let's jump in no particular order. I'm going to begin with this first category, and that is that I am thankful to God for His perfect character. I thank God for His perfect character. I thank God for His goodness. I thank God for His love. Psalm 106 verse 1 says, "Praise the Lord, O give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever." This is a theme that is repeated exceedingly abundantly throughout the Psalms, but indeed throughout all of the Scripture, focusing on the fact that God is good and that He is a God of steadfast love. That is His character. That is who He is. I give God thanks for His righteousness. Psalm 7 verse 17 says, I will give thanks to the Lord due to His righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord, the Most High. Due to His righteousness, this is who God is. That's His nature. That's His character. He doesn't have to work to be a righteous God. He is a righteous God. And because He is a righteous God, then I give thanks for God's righteousness. And I'm thankful for His faithfulness. Psalm 57:9 says, "I will give thanks to You, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to You among the nations. For Your steadfast love is great to the heavens, Your faithfulness to the clouds." In the New Testament, we read about different ways that God responds to us, and we have a reflection of the ways that we try to be faithful to God and what He does for us. But in one of the statements that is made is that if we are unfaithful, God will still be faithful because He cannot deny His character. That's why I'm including this under the character of God. He has perfect character. He is always a faithful God. Nothing would ever cause Him to not be faithful. I thank the Lord for His faithfulness. And I'm thankful for His sovereignty. I'm thankful for His almighty power, that He is all-powerful. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11 says, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is Yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and You are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from You, and You rule over all. In Your hand are power and might, and in Your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank You, our God, and praise Your glorious name." Again, so many different references can be found throughout Scripture to speak of God's sovereignty and to speak of His great power. This is who He is. This is His nature. And when I consider the truth about the nature of our God, these things, among others, come to my mind as reasons for which to give thanks, to praise God. A second category is that I thank God for His gracious provisions. These categories overlap in so many different areas. I'm just kind of giving you my thankful list, my blessings list. I thank God for His gracious provisions. I'm thankful that Jesus Christ is the Savior to all who believe. Revelation chapter 7, we looked at part of this earlier, verse 9. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb of God who was slain, Jesus Christ the righteous." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Salvation belongs to our God. Salvation comes through Jesus Christ. And that is a salvation that is available to all who believe. And that brings to my heart a great sense of thanksgiving. I'm thankful that God listens to my prayers. I certainly don't deserve to have Him listen, but He does. Colossians 4:2 says, "Continue steadfastly in prayer." But He doesn't just tell us we ought to pray. It goes on to say, "Being watchful in it with thanksgiving." I'm convinced that there should essentially never be a time in our prayer when we're not coming to God with a thankful heart. The very fact that He hears our prayers should motivate us to gratitude and thanksgiving. So that even before a request is expressed to God, I should be thanking God for the privilege of being able to come to Him in prayer, and that He hears me through the blood of Jesus Christ. Psalm 28:6 says, "Blessed be the Lord, for He has heard the voice of my pleas for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In Him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exults, and with my song I give thanks to Him." He hears my pleas for mercy. There are so many times in my life when I feel like I can't handle this anymore. Anybody here relate to that? And during those times, we may cry out to God saying, "God, have mercy on me." And I can thank God that He hears my prayers for mercy, that I can come to Him through Jesus Christ. I can request His intervention, and He hears those prayers. I am thankful for the priceless treasure of the Word of God. This is a part of God's gracious provision. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, "We also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the Word of men, but as what it really is, the Word of God." Paul was writing these words to the Thessalonian believers, and he says to them, the Word that you got from us is actually the Word of God. And that Word has been passed on generation after generation after generation. And for the most part, each of us today holds in our hands a copy of God's holy Word. This is a gracious provision that is beyond valuable. It is invaluable. It is amazing that we have this, and especially in light of what we've just seen about these unreached people groups. The majority of the world do not have a Bible to hold in their hands, and we take this for granted. Because all of us have Bibles. All of us have ready access to Bibles. Not only do we have it, but we have it in our own language. And none of the original words were written in the English language. So we have all of this available to us, and I thank God for His gracious provision of His holy Word. And this is eternal. What a priceless treasure. I'm thankful for the indwelling Holy Spirit. And by the way, for each of these elements, I haven't necessarily given you a verse for every one of them. I'll let you do some of that work on your own. That's a great exercise. As you're giving thanks to God for things, look through the Word of God and see what it says about those very things. So I am thankful for the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John that when He goes away, He's going to send the Comforter. The Comforter is God's Holy Spirit. And when He comes, He's going to be indwelling. I have God's Spirit living within me. The way Jesus put it is, I will come and be with you, and the Father will make His home in you. God, the triune Godhead, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, dwells within me as a believer. You can't put a price on that. I am so thankful for God dwelling within me, for God's Holy Spirit. Let's get into another category. I thank God for my family. I'm thankful for growing up in a Christian home. Now, I want you to remember right now, this is my blessings list, so I can say whatever I want. This is my blessings list. And not all of you are going to be able to have exactly the same things here, because not all of you may have grown up in a Christian home. I am very grateful that I did. I am grateful to have Christian parents, parents who both received Christ in their childhood because they were taught the truth earlier in their lives. I'm thankful to have Christian grandparents. On my mom's side, both of them were believers before my mom was born. On my dad's side, my grandmother was a believer before my dad was born, and then at some point during my dad's years, his dad came to know Jesus Christ as Savior, which means that all four of my grandparents are in glory waiting to see me when I get there. Well, that is a wonderful blessing. I am thankful for growing up in a Christian home. I'm thankful for growing up with Christian grandparents and Christian extended family. My mother is an only child, but my dad comes from a relatively large family, and all of the members of that family are believers. Most of them have passed on just recently. My dad's brother, that was the only one still living, went to be with the Lord, and so now they're together in glory. But as I think about my extended family, many of those have been praying for Kim and me as we went into ministry 35 plus years ago and have been praying for us faithfully all these years. What a blessing! What an amazing thing it is to have such Christian family. I am thankful for having grown up in a Christian home. You're going to have to perhaps adjust some of your expressions of thanksgiving if you didn't grow up in a Christian home. But as I share these other things, perhaps some thoughts will come to your mind as well. And by the way, as I think of being for my family, I need to especially express that at the very top of my list, I am thankful for a godly wife. Proverbs 19:14 says, a prudent wife is from the Lord. God gave me Kim as my wife. This is from the Lord. This is a gift of God, an invaluable gift of God. And she loves me in spite of myself. You get to see me at my best behavior because I get up here and, of course, I'm trying to be my best. She has to live with me. In spite of that, she loves me. And she expresses that love in so many ways. And I've given you a reference there for Proverbs 31. Most of you should know that verses 10 through 31 is the description of a godly woman, of an excellent woman. And my wife is indeed an excellent woman. And to use some of the expressions that we would find in Proverbs chapter 31, she does me good and not harm. I can say that without any qualifications whatsoever. She is always seeking my good. What a blessing that is. She fears the Lord deeply, and she loves the Lord. And she rises early every morning to prepare her heart through worship of God in order to be the woman that God wants her to be and to serve the Lord appropriately. Every single morning, I thank God for that. I can't get up without her having already been in this private place between her and God and worshiping the Lord. She adorns herself with godly character. She lovingly ministers not just to my needs, but to many in need. And if I were to ask for a show of hands, many of you would say, yes, Kim has done that for me. She has ministered to me. She's been there to help me because that's what she does. She's a godly woman. She opens her mouth with wisdom. She looks well to the ways of her household. I must say, I can't say enough about how grateful I am that God has given me so graciously such an excellent wife. And I'm thankful for my Christian children. I have four children. All four of those have put their faith in Jesus Christ. I don't deserve that. It is a gift of God. All four of my children are now married, and all of those spouses love the Lord. I don't deserve that. This is a gift from God. And I thank God for my Christian children and for my Christian in-laws that are now my children. I thank God for the fact that our family is a loving family. And I know that many of you would not necessarily be able to say that, that there is friction that is so difficult that perhaps you don't even enjoy being with them. But I thank God that for the most part, when we get together, it is always just fun. There is laughter, there is smiles, there is celebration. That as we gather, even this week, Pastor Caleb and Amy are going down to see her folks this Thanksgiving, and we praise God for that. We're going to miss them. The rest of my whole crew, my three other children and their spouses, all my grandkids are going to be there, and we're going to join hands all around this table, and we're going to give God thanks because we have the joy of the Lord in our midst, because we have Jesus Christ as our Savior, and this is a blessing beyond measure. I'm thankful for my grandchildren. In first service, I had my oldest daughter's three children here with us, and it was so fun. I look over there, and Kim's got just a lap full of kids in her lap, and we were thanking the Lord that these three can be. And by the way, one of those is natural born. Two of those are adopted because God didn't seem to give her more children, and so she went for the adoption. And these are now our kids. These are our grandkids, and I thank the Lord for having provided these grandkids for us. What a blessing that is. Grandchildren are the crown of the aged, according to Proverbs 17:6. I guess I'm going to have to accept the term aged now, and so that's going to go with me. But I thank the Lord. These are my crowns. Praise the Lord for that. I could go on, but let's move to point D. I thank God for His goodness to me. Now, I've already thanked God for His gracious provisions, and obviously I am a recipient of those gracious provisions, but now I'm going to make it personal. His goodness to me. I'm thankful for the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ for me personally. We read in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. My sins have been forgiven. I am a sinner. But my sins have been forgiven through faith in Jesus Christ. I thank God for that. And yeah, I come and I confess my sins, but it's not like if I miss one of them, that one's not forgiven. Jesus Christ has paid for my sins. My sins are all forgiven. And I'm thankful for deliverance from the bondage to sin. Romans 6:17 says, "Thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness." Now, I won't pretend to you that I don't sin anymore, but I have been set free from sin. That is to say, I don't have to sin. I make those mistakes. I choose wrong choices at times, and I come to Him and thank Him for forgiveness of those sins. But the reality is that because Jesus Christ has paid for my sins, He has set me free from bondage to sin. I don't have to live that way any longer, and I thank God for that. I'm thankful for peace with God. According to Romans 5:1, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God means that there is nothing that stands between God and me now. There is nothing that separates me from my God. And that whenever death overtakes me, I am already at peace with God, and I will go immediately into His presence. I have that peace. I have been justified, and I thank God for it. I'm thankful for the gift of eternal life, so that whenever that time does come, I know I'm going to go immediately into the presence of my Savior, and I'm going to continue this eternal life that I've already begun, and I'm going to continue it in glory because of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12:28 says, "Let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe." I am receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. That's the eternal kingdom of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I thank God for that eternal life. Colossians 1:12 says, "Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light." My inheritance is not in this world. My inheritance is in glory, and I've already been qualified to share in that because of what Jesus Christ has done for me. And I'm thankful for peace of God. Not only do I have the peace with God, meaning there's nothing that separates me from God, but I also have the peace of God, as is expressed in Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God is when anxiety is done away with. And yeah, at times I still struggle with that. That's my fault, not God's. But the truth is that I have the peace of God. And when I come to Him in prayer and I lift my burdens to Him, He can say, "Now you leave your burdens here. I've got this." And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guards my heart and guards my mind in Christ Jesus. And I'm thankful for the joy of the Lord that I can have regardless of the circumstances. Psalm 30 verse 4 says, "Sing praises to the Lord, all you His saints, and give thanks to His holy name. For His anger is but for a moment, and His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning." There are times of grief. There are times of trial, of difficulty, of heartache, but there's always that joy. And the reality is, as we read elsewhere in Scripture, that the joy of the Lord is really not contingent upon my circumstances. That even when I'm going through a time of deep pain and grief, sorrow, loss, whatever it may be, and there may be tears flowing from my eyes, I can still have the joy of the Lord operating within me. I thank God for the joy of the Lord. He is good to me in showing me that joy. And I'm thankful not only for all these spiritual blessings, and I haven't even scratched the surface of spiritual blessings according to Ephesians that says we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's beyond count. But in addition to all these spiritual blessings, I have to say I'm thankful for my temporal blessings. For the blessings of the here and now, the things I experience right now. For the material things, I'm thankful to have a house to live in. Again, this is my thankfulness. Not everyone has that. I have it, so I'm going to express thanks to God that I have it. I'm thankful for God's provision of daily bread, as the Lord taught us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." And when He gives that, do we stop and give thanks? That's what we need to do. I am thankful that God gives me my daily bread. 1 Timothy 4 says, "Everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God in prayer." So we're going to gather around our table this Thanksgiving, and we're going to lift up thanks to God for the feast that we're enjoying, the daily bread, and so much more. But it's not just then that we're thankful for that. Every time we sit to eat, we bow and we hold hands and we say, "Thank you, God, that you have provided this food for us." I'm thankful for the sufficient health I have in order to be able to work, in order to make a living, to carry on the Lord's work. 1 Chronicles 29 again says, "Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name." You know, if you've got a job and you're earning income, who gets the thanks for that? God gets the thanks. He is the one who gave you the strength to work. If He didn't give you the strength, you couldn't do it. God's the one who ultimately gets the praise here. So I thank God for giving me the strength to be enabled to serve Him and carry on His work as I do. I'm thankful for a car that works. Some of you are thinking, "Pastor Keith, that's not my category right now." Okay, well, again, this is my blessings list. But I am thankful for a car that works. I must admit, I'm not as faithful to give thanks for that as I am to give thanks for my daily bread. But really, I am thankful. Every time I get in the car, it's like, "Thank you, Lord, you provided this for me." And when it doesn't work, I'm thankful for mechanics that do. Because I'm not one of those. I can open the hood and look like I know what I'm doing, but don't hand me a wrench. So I'm going to be thankful that when something goes wrong, the Lord has provided opportunities for people who know how to fix that kind of thing. And then He's given me some income in order to pay them. It's a big process that all brings glory to God because He is the one who provides all material things. And that list could go on and on as well. But let's just narrow that down to a separate category in one point, point E, and that is, I thank God for technology. I realize technology has its negatives. There's a downside to it, but there's a lot of good sides to it. And we are blessed with the technology we have. I'm thankful for access to the insights of godly men and women throughout Christian history. Essentially, every manuscript that has been salvageable throughout centuries of Christian history has been translated, transcribed, put in digital format, and is put on the internet for us to use today. That is amazing. I mean, before our generation, that didn't exist. And we've got so much, and so I can read all the great Christian writers throughout history. I can read all of the advice that they have given others throughout history. I have access to all that just with a click of my mouse. And it's in my own language. What a blessing that is. And it's a blessing most of the world still doesn't have. We saw these unreached people groups. Most of those don't have access to what we have access to. So I'm thankful for technology. I'm thankful for technology that reflects the creativity of being made in the image of God. My God is a creative God. He created us. He created all things in this universe. He is a creative God. He created us in His image. Part of that image is that we have creativity. I am thankful for the technology that reflects creativity. I mean, just a computer alone is an amazing thing that most of us don't understand. We just use it. But it is amazing. It is an expression of the creativity of our God. And so I thank the Lord for such technology. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to communicate with my family from essentially anywhere. I mean, I remember when Kim and I first went into ministry, we pretty much had a plan that we would talk to parents once a month. You saved up money to make those long-distance phone calls because we were living in Canada and they were down here in the States. And now look what we get to do. I don't get to see my grandkids face-to-face in person but a couple of times a year, but I get to see them on my little handheld device. I get to see them on my computer, and that little FaceTime thing rings, and I click on it, and there's my grandson staring at me. It's like, this is great. I'm so thankful that I get to communicate with them, and it's worked out so well. This is technology. I'm grateful for technology. Are you thankful for that? Yeah, Skype is wonderful, I got to tell you. Let's move on. I thank God for trials of various kinds. Okay, now we're taking a pretty significant attitude change. Thanking God for the trials of various kinds. And this is reflecting of James chapter 1, verse 2 and following, where he says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, so that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing." Count it all joy when you face trials of various kinds. Now, I have to say, this one doesn't come naturally for me. And it probably doesn't come naturally for anyone here. This is something that is supernatural in its motivation. It's something that we have to work on, that we have to practice. We have to realize that even in the difficult trials that we face, God is at work. And so, at the top of my trials thankfulness list, I'm thankful for headaches. If you don't know, I deal with headaches on a regular basis, 3-4 times a week, and they can easily last all day. So this is an ongoing thing. I've had it since I was a teenager. And by the way, if some of you are thinking, "Oh, Pastor Keith, I've got the answer for that," no, you don't. I've tried almost everything. But besides that, I've also learned to give thanks. Why am I thankful for headaches? Because they are a reminder that I am ultimately and totally dependent upon God. When Paul was struggling with this thorn in the flesh, and we don't know for sure what that is, but just for the sake of application, let me suggest to you that it was a headache. I think it probably wasn't, but let's just go there for a minute. Suppose that Paul had the kind of headaches that I deal with, and that he was saying, "God, you know, I could be so more effective in ministry if I didn't have these headaches. Would you please take these headaches away?" And God's answer to him was, "No, you need these headaches to be reminded that you have to trust me. You have to rely upon me." And so I thank God for the headaches as a constant reminder that I am totally dependent upon God, that without Him I could do nothing. Those are good reminders. I'm thankful for age-related decline. And I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but follow with me. I'm thankful for age-related decline, among other reasons. I'm going to put it at the top of my list on this one. I'm thankful because it reminds me that this world is not my home. You know, I think about the things that I have to deal with, and Kim and I are regularly having this conversation now, you know, of the things that are breaking down and not working right, and the frustrations of it all. And some of you are thinking, yeah, Pastor Keith, you just wait. Okay, that's what I'm talking about. You're telling me just wait. Wait for what? It's going to get worse? Okay, I understand that. But you know what? This world is not my home. So this is not going to get worse forever. There's coming a stopping point when it gets better. A whole lot better, because I'm not going to have this body with all of its broken down parts anymore. I'm going to be given something new that works, and I'm going to praise God for that. But in the meantime, I'm thankful because it reminds me this world is not my home. And my personal experience, and I'm most of you are going to raise your hand on this one, my personal experience is that the older I get, the more anxious I am to leave this world, right? And so it reminds us this world is not my home. I'm thankful for difficulties to refine me and make me more like Jesus. In Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and following, we read, "We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." God is using my trials, my sufferings, to make me more like Jesus. That means for every one of those suffering trials that I have to endure, I ought to be saying, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for using this in my life, because I know that without it, I could not be all that you want me to be." He has designed it for my good and for His glory. Let's move on. Point G, I thank God for His majesty. Psalm 145, verses 5 and 6 says, "Oh, the glorious splendor of your majesty. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness." That's really what I'm doing right now to you, my brothers and sisters. I'm declaring the greatness of my God. I'm declaring the majesty of my God. I am thankful for the beauty, the wonder of God's created universe. It is a marvelous universe in which we live, isn't it? It's majestic. Kim and I don't get to travel a whole lot. We haven't been a lot of places in the world. But even out here in the West, just going to several places, you're amazed. You know, the Grand Canyon? Wow, that is amazing. It's beautiful. And the splendor of the mountains. I love that stuff. To look into the heavens, all of this is just amazing. It's God's creation. And as I look at God's creation, it speaks of His majesty. I'm thankful for trees, for those of you who didn't already know that. Yeah, I hear you too. I'm thankful for trees. And I know Pahrump doesn't have a whole lot of trees, but my yard's got good trees. And I'm thankful I can look out there and enjoy those trees. And I'm thankful that we can travel places and see trees. We can go up. I went with Roy to some Village Missions board meetings here recently up to Oregon. And one of Roy's comments every time we get up there, he says, "Man, all these trees, I can't see anything." I'm thinking, "Are you nut? Man, this is what I want to see. Just put me in the middle of those trees. I love these trees." Again, you may feel different. I know there's a lot of people here. I thank God for living out in the desert with no tree. Anyway, I thank God for trees. I thank God for birds. I love birds. Ask my family. Go to a zoo and they're saying, "Come on, Dad, there's more here than just birds." "No, just leave me alone. I want to watch the birds." I love the birds, but I love the other animals as well. And I watch all the nature shows so I can see all the birds, I can see all the animals. And I'm always marveling at what God has done. And it's not only awesome, it's amazing. It's crazy. Have you ever seen a platypus? Anyway, to think of all the things that God has created, it just brings honor and glory just to acknowledge that He is the majestic creator of all of these things. I'm thankful for cool weather. Do I hear any amens out here? Oh, cool weather. I'm really thankful for cool weather. Some of you may have noticed I'm still only wearing pants to church on Sunday. It's short, so the rest of the week, because I'm not quite there yet where I need the long pants. But I'm thankful for cool weather. And because I'm supposed to be, I'm also thankful for hot weather. But I have to admit that one fits more into the category of giving thanks for your suffering and trials. However, I know that others of you feel different. This is my list, okay? So I'm going to give God thanks for the hot weather because it's one of these trials that He uses to make me more like Himself. I thank God for the wonder of the heavens. Psalm 19, verse 1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork." Man, I love to look at the stars at night. And we live in a great place to do that, by the way. Desert. Okay, I'll take that. So I walk out and I look at the stars up there in the Milky Way, and it's just amazing. And I like to see all the planets, and I like to identify the various constellations. And we've lived up north where I got to see the northern lights. It is amazing to see all of that. And I'm a real fan of the astronomy picture of the day on the internet. If you don't look at that, you might consider it, where you've got these amazing Hubble telescope photographs of the things that you can't see with your bare eyes, and yet here's all of this stuff. And God is the creator of it all. And I regularly find myself, when I'm looking at those things, just thinking, what a majestic God we have, that He spoke all these things into existence. Well, I could spend a lot of time there, but I'm not going to right now. So let's move on. Point H, I thank God for the church. And I'm using the church in its broadest sense right now, the people of God. And I'm thankful for the foundational Bible training that I received as a young age, largely as a result of the church. Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said in 2 Timothy 3:15, "From childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." And you know, that verse could be about me. From childhood, I have been acquainted with the sacred writings of Scripture, which were able to make me wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. I've already mentioned the joy of growing up in a Christian home, having Christian parents who not only believed in God, believed in Jesus Christ, and trusted in Him, but took us to church in order to learn. To have Christian grandparents. And I remember from an early age seeing my grandmother when I would wake up in the wee hours of the morning when nobody else should be up, and my grandmother sitting at her table reading her Bible readings in the morning. What an impression that left on me. I thank God for these Christian grandparents and for the fact that they had us in church and they taught us these things, to know the sacred writings which are able to make you wise into salvation. I thank God for George Hall. And no, I don't expect that to make any difference to you, but it makes a difference to me. He was the pastor of my church when I was 7 years old, and my mom said, "Pay attention during church." And I listened as the gospel was presented, and George Hall presented what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ and our need for salvation through faith so that we don't go to hell and we get to go to heaven. And that day I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord as a result of George Hall being faithful to the Word of God as a part of the church. I thank God for Joe and Eileen Mosley. Again, names that you wouldn't know. But as Kim and I went into our teen years, we had the joy of having Joe and Eileen come as a pastor and pastor's wife at our church. And Joe was a teacher. He loved to teach the Word of God, much like I do to you on a regular basis. And I learned through him. And Eileen was a teacher as she taught many of our girls and ladies groups. And this couple was so wonderful as they were able to relate to us the truths of God that they had received and that they were then passing on to us. And Joe performed our wedding when we were married. We went to church together. We were in nursery together when we were little bitty at church. There we go. So thank God for that. I thank God for Mike and Fran Manley. Again, some folks from our youth that as teenagers, Mike and Fran came as Mike was the youth director and the music director, had a tremendous impact on our lives. He was a little nervous because I was a moody teenager, okay? We'll just put it like that. I was a moody teenager, still struggling with who I was. And Kim, of course, has always been perfect. And so Mike just had this idea of what she needed, and I wasn't it. And so he wasn't in favor of this union, but we showed them. Yes, sir, indeed. So now, after all these years, we're still happily married. And by the way, Mike and Fran are dear friends of ours, and we've visited with them, and we love them to death. So I thank God for these people who are a part of the church and what an impact they've made on our life. And I thank God for my church right here. I love my church family. Have I told you that? I love my church family, and I know that you love me, and we are so grateful for that. In Philemon, we read in verses 4 and 5, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. That's how I feel. I thank God each time I think about my church family. Thank the Lord for this church. We are so blessed, and we should always have that attitude of thanksgiving. I'm thankful for the stewardship of my gifts. Stewardship is when God, or in this case I'm talking about God entrusts you with something and expects you to use it wisely. Well, He has gifted me to be a teacher of the Word of God, and I thank the Lord that He has given me that opportunity. Paul said it this way in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, I thank Him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because He judged me faithful, appointing me to His service. I feel that I am here because God has appointed me to His service. And I thank the Lord that He has given me that privilege. I don't deserve it, but I thank God that He has given me that privilege. I'm thankful for Village Missions, a mission organization that has been proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to rural North America for 70 years. And I was surprised recently to be thinking about this and realizing that for over half of that time, I have been a part of Village Missions. So I am in the aged category, apparently. But I'm thankful for Village Missions. And even today, as Village Missions is dedicated to providing spiritually vital leadership in small rural churches across America, I thank God for this missions organization. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to give to God's work. Each week we have an opportunity to collect offerings. That is a way of worship. We should be thankful that we can do that. And I'm not going to read it for you, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10 and 10 through 12, Paul is talking about how God has blessed us with things so that we in turn can turn around and be a blessing to others. And so we talk about giving a part of that which God has given to us and given to His work. And so we give it to Pahrump Community Church, and Pahrump Community Church uses it for the ministry right here in our own neighborhood, as well as sending missionaries across the United States and Canada and indeed all around the world. I thank God for the opportunity to do that. Let's move to another category. I thank God for the privilege of living in the USA. Are you with me on that? I am thankful, and I don't apologize about being thankful for it. Matter of fact, I see a bit of a parallel. Back in Jeremiah, when God's people were going to be going into captivity, Jeremiah 29:7, God said to them, "Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare." Now, I know that was spoken specifically to the Jews of the Old Testament, but there's a principle there that if we seek the welfare of the country in which we reside, we will find our own welfare. And so I thank God for the USA, and I thank God for the things that are a part of being a citizen of this country. I'm thankful for freedom of speech. And even though there have been some encroachment upon that freedom in recent years, we still have more freedom of speech than any place on earth. We ought to be expressing to God our gratitude for that and what was put in place by our founding fathers. I thank God for the freedom of religion. I'm sure that most of us came here this morning without even a second thought about whether or not we were going to get in trouble for going to church. Well, no, we don't get in trouble. It's one of our freedoms. It's one of our rights. Are you giving God thanks for that right? I thank God for that freedom. I'm thankful for the opportunity God gives me to vote. And if you didn't vote in that recent election, I say shame on you. We have been given such a privilege by God to live in a situation where we can have an impact on who is going to be over us in government. I think it's our Christian responsibility to vote. And that means you're going to have to do a little work to figure out who to vote for. But I thank God for that opportunity. And I thank God for the opportunity to learn to abound. What do I mean by that? Paul tells us that he has learned how to abound and how to be abased. He says, I've learned what it is to have plenty and to be in want. I know what it is to be hungry, and I know what it is to be well fed. Well, for the most part, we abound here. And we are often led by some people to believe that we ought to feel guilty for that. And I'm not going to feel guilty about it. Why? Because God placed me here. And God has blessed me. And if He is allowing me to abound, I should be thankful for that, shouldn't I? Now, that doesn't mean that he's always going to allow that. And if he takes it away, we need to be like Job and say, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And we need to be like Paul to say, I know what it is to abound, and I can learn what it is to be abased. If things are taken away from me, I'm going to still give God the praise. But there's nothing wrong with you experiencing abundance and giving God the praise for that. Of course, even as we experience abundance, it's the recognition that he expects us to use that which was he has blessed us in order to be a blessing for others. And that's another sermon in itself. But I just thank the Lord for living in the USA and experiencing the abundance that we experience. The last category, I thank God for his promises. I thank God for his promises. I'm thankful that God promises to use everything in life in order to accomplish his ultimate will. Most of us are familiar with Romans 8:28. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. And he goes on from there. Here's the promise of God. He is going to use everything in my life in order to bring him glory and to work for my good. So not all things go the way I want them to go. I can still thank God because he's in charge. And he's working it for my good even when I can't see it. That's a great reason for me to give thanks. I'm thankful for the promise of victory. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We do have victory. And you can go back and read the context, but the reality is that we live lives of victory because we know who the victor is. And we've already been given the promise of ultimate victory. So when all is done, we are going to stand, I am going to stand with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in victory. I will celebrate that victory as being a part of it because of what my Savior has done. And so I thank the Lord for his promise for victory. No matter how hard things may get right now, victory is coming. And I thank God for that. I thank God for his promise to make me perfect. It kind of goes with that first one, but in this case, I'm talking about eventually making me everything that he intends me to be. We read again in James chapter 1, verses 2 and following, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. So we're thankful for those trials. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. I thank God for his promise that he's going to make me perfect. And I'm not there yet. He's still at work. Philippians 1:6 says, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. That means that he is going to make me perfect. And all that's going on right now is just his process. But there's coming a day when I'm going to be perfect. And you, if you've trusted in Jesus, you're going to be perfect. I thank God for his promise. Because if it were up to me, we'd be in trouble. It's up to him. And I thank God for his promise. My concluding statement. Thankful people are happy people. You believe that?
Yes.
Thankful people are happy people. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. We are the recipients of all these good gifts. And they all come from God the Father. And if we give God the thanks, we tend to be happy people. Thankful people are happy people. And I submit that people who recognize that Jesus Christ is ultimately the source of every true and perfect gift, every true and perfect blessing, will inevitably be the happiest people on earth. Hebrews 12:28 says, therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. I am thankful. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I've made a list and it's not near long enough. But thank you. And each of these things that I've shared, I've shared with my church family here. But I'm sharing them to you and saying thank you. Thank you. We give you thanks this Thanksgiving week, but Lord, let this not just be the only time that we're given thanks. let us be the most thankful and the happiest people on earth because of what we have in Jesus Christ. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.